And you know the story. Two of the spies, Joshua and Caleb, accompanied by 10 others, and they go into the land of Canaan. Our study is with Caleb, so let's take a look at this guy in particular. Caleb's name means bold or impetuous. I guess he has a New Testament counterpart in Peter, but for now, he's bold and impetuous. And the text that we'll look at in Joshua and in Numbers indicates of Caleb that he fully followed the Lord, quote unquote, and it gives us six times to us. Now, that's a key to understanding Caleb. He fully followed the Lord. Now, to have been identified and set out and set apart as one of the 12 spies, he must have been a man of some stature already. They would not have picked somebody they didn't know, somebody that hadn't proved himself over the past 2 years. So we can assume that, as his name implies, he was courageous. He must have already demonstrated faithfulness because he was trusted with this job of being one of the 12 to spy out the land. He could be counted upon to give some sort of a report about what he saw. He was courageous and strong and brave, so that Moses felt good about sending him, along with the other 11, out into the land of Canaan. So he goes out with them to the valley of Eshcol, which means cluster, that valley. So they go out there and they spend 40 days spying out the land. We're not told how far and wide they roamed, but we are told enough about in their report, which we will read in a minute, that it certainly was the southern half of the promised land. So one of the areas around that was a mountain called Mount Horeb. And this is a particular interest to the story and, of course, to Caleb. The spies come back after 40 days of spying out the land, and I want to read to you the report. You know it in essence that there were two spies that gave a good report, Joshua and Caleb, and that there were 10 spies that did not. But I want you to hear how that actually went out. And this I'm reading from Numbers 13, picking up from verse 26. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite assembly at Kadesh Barnea in the desert of Paran, where they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They had brought back clusters of grapes from the valley of Eshcol, called Cluster. They gave Moses the following account. We went into the land which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites, they live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the coast by the sea and along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack these people. They're stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw are of great size. We saw the Nephilim." They're the descendants of Anak who came from the Nephilim. "We seem like grasshoppers in our own sights, and we look the same to them." Well, who are they referring to? the Nephilim, the antecedents of the Nephilim, they go way back to the flood stage and were literally physically, they were physical giants. Well, apparently they've got these descendants still there, the descendants of Anak, and he is located on the high place in Mount Horeb. So they see descendants of these giants. That's what he means why he said, we look like grasshoppers compared to these guys. And in their eyes, we were grasshoppers. Now, I'm going to just give you a parenthetical statement. This is the family origin, the genealogical origin of Goliath. This is where Goliath comes from, this group, these guys, these descendants of the Nephilim. So here we see the Israelites encountering them for the first time in the southern portion of the Promised Land. Now, I'm not going into all the detail of this story because it's not our major point, the exactly what happened. It's the study of Caleb. So as you have seen, Caleb set himself apart and he said, we can do this. The 10 others said, no, we can't. They're too powerful. They're too big. We can't do this. But Caleb presses on and he says, yes, we can. And what happened is that the people grumbled against Caleb, against this report. They didn't want to hear somebody who said, we can do it, when they believed the bad report and said, we can't. So they were angry at him, and Joshua and Caleb risked being stoned to death by their fellow Israelites for maintaining a position of, we can do this. Now, what happened? Well, first of all, God was greatly displeased at this. Why do you think that would be so? And Caleb must have realized this too. He, through Moses, knew that God was displeased with the whole Israelite camp. Why? You can imagine that Caleb would have said to them in his pleading with them, listen, it was only 2 years ago when we were captives and in bondage in Egypt. Don't you remember the 10 plagues that the Lord visited upon Egypt that eventually freed us? Don't you remember the miraculous power that God demonstrated in that, in those 10 plagues? Don't you remember? Don't you remember that when we came to the Red City and we had the Pharaoh's army behind us in our rear and we had nowhere to go except into the Red Sea, don't you remember the pillar of fire that came between us and the armies of Pharaoh? Don't you remember that to the Pharaoh and his armies there was blackness, but to us there was light? And that lasted the whole night. Don't you remember that? Don't you remember that after that, the whole night it took, the winds blew back the ocean and we were able to walk on dry land. All 2.5 million people, us, we all walked through there safely and we came to the other side. And when Pharaoh and the army wanted to run through and capture us, the Lord closed up the water and destroyed the army. Don't you remember that? Don't you remember that when we got hungry and thirsty, God provided. He provided manna. What is it, we used to call it? Don't you recall? We used to call it, what is it? Manna. What did it taste like? It tasted like coriander with honey. It fell every day except the Sabbath. Don't you remember that provision? We got thirsty. We went to that big lake and it was bitter. So what did God tell Moses to do? Chop down a tree. The tree falls in there, a symbol of Christ on the cross. And it changes the water and it became sweet and we survived. It's been 2 years. Think of all the stuff we've had to have eaten were it not for manna. Where would that have come from? But God provided for us. Don't you recall that? Don't you remember the incredible drama played out on Mount Sinai when God appeared as lightning and fire, and Moses went up there and talked with him face to face, and God gave us the Ten Commandments, and we have become a nation now, a people with law and order. Don't you remember that God did that for us? And what did they say? Stone that guy. He's a nutso. They're too big. The giants are too big. We can't do this. We can't. And Caleb must have been totally frustrated and said, I get why God is angry. Can't believe that you can't see God is with us. We can do this. The people rebelled. And God said, all right, I'm paraphrasing. All right, that does it. This generation will not enter the land. In fact, I'm turning you back in 1 year for every day that your spies were in the promised land spying it out. 1 year for every day. 40 years for the 40 days. Now turn around, and this generation, all the generation, all the men from 20 years and older that were recorded in the census that you took, all of them will die except for this guy, Joshua, and Caleb. Back they went. All right, how do you think Caleb responded to that? You have got to be kidding. Walk around for 40 years? Are you kidding? We could have done it. At the time, he was 40 years old. He was either at his prime or approaching his prime from our standards. But he said, I can't believe it. We could do this, but now we have to go and march around in the desert. Now, during that 40 years, what else do you think Caleb experienced? He experienced all these men and women that he had known pass away. Now, they've been through an awful lot together, all the way back into Egypt. This was his generation. These were his people, many of his same tribe, many of his family. He had to witness their death for 40 years as they all passed away. Very difficult. There were other rebellions. You might recall the rebellion of Korah, where Korah rebelled against the concept that God spoke through Moses and Aaron, that they were the leaders appointed by God. He rose up and said, no, I think God can speak to me too. And it was a serious rebellion. Caleb had to witness that. And then said, oh yeah, Korah, where were you when I gave the report to go into the promised land? Didn't it occur to you to trust God then? Now you say that you're the one that's going to lead us? I don't think so. Neither did God. The earth opened up and Korah was swallowed up. Another time, they were grumbling and moaning and complaining and forgetting the provisions of God. So what happened? The Lord sent them a plague of serpents that were killing them, poisonous snakes. So what happened? The Lord says to Moses, make a bronze snake and lift it up on the cross. So Jesus later on says, even as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, another type and shadow. But back in the wilderness, Caleb had to stand by because of the disbelief again of the people. God had to send this plague to bring them to their knees and then by obedience to him, to look to the cross as a forerunner, as a foretaste, a type and shadow of all of us who need to look to the cross for our salvation. Caleb had to witness that. I'm sure in Caleb's mind he's going, I can't believe this. All this could have been avoided if we just trusted. But they didn't. The generation died off. And so now he, Caleb, finds himself 45 years later, after having fought alongside his men, because when they came again to the other side of the Jordan, not again to Kadesh Barnea, they didn't go that way. They went around to the eastern side, what is now the country of Jordan. They went around to the eastern side, and they camped out before the water, the Jordan River, and they're about to go in and possess the land, this time under Joshua. And they're about to go in, and you know that Caleb was itching to get at this and get his inheritance, because he was promised by his faithfulness. God promised him 45 years previously that because of your good report and your faithfulness, I will give you that land. So for 40 years, he watched his fellow people die. He went through their trials, but didn't feel he was part of it because his faithfulness was intact, and it always was, but nevertheless, he endured what they had to endure because of their disobedience and because of their lack of belief. And yet he remained true and faithful to his vision and held on to the promise of God that he would get that mountain. So he finds himself back at the Jordan River, and he's itching and he's raring to go for this thing. And then what happens? We have to conquer the whole land. So Joshua drives through, and he cuts a wedge between the north and the south by driving into Jericho and Ai and beyond. And he splits it, divide and conquer tactic. And he has a southern campaign, and he has a northern campaign. And then some of the tribes, Manasseh, and a half tribe of Manasseh, and two other tribes, they're given a portion on what is now the Golan Heights. But Caleb fought alongside in all of these battles. He fought with this group, fights and battles that he could have fought 40 years ago along with them. But now he finds himself fighting and defeating all the other inhabitants of, so that they could take possession. And then finally, when it's all over, finally, he gets to do what? Well, we'll see in a minute. But right now, I want Renee to sing us a song that she composed that I think is really appropriate for us as we transition to what happened to Caleb and what does this mean to us. So Renee, will you bless us with this song?
Hey.
Thank you, Renee. Now let's get back to Caleb. Where did we leave him anyway? Well, we left him at the foot of Mount Horeb, which is 25 miles south of Jerusalem. And what did he do in the meantime? Well, he traveled over the whole land because he helped conquer the land. But after having seen all the other possibilities, after having seen the beautiful Jordan, after having been up there, the Sea of Galilee, after being in the Jezreel Valley, after seeing all the other possibilities, what does he want? He wants what was originally promised to him. Of all the places in the promised land, of all the places he could have gone to, he chooses the mountain that still has the giants on it. Faithful, courageous. Did he settle for something else? He says, listen, I'm 85 now. I'm not 40. I'm 85. I've been through more since. No, I have been through the same amount of time since that good report that I gave as my whole life up until the good report. I'm 85 years old. I've seen some beautiful valleys, but nope. He goes to Joshua, and this is what he says to Joshua. Joshua 14, 6 through 15. He's about to be released from service of conquering the land. Joshua's at the end of his life as well. But here's what he says to Joshua. Now the men of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. Gilgal was where their main camp was while they were doing these various military campaigns. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea about you and me. I was 40 years old then when Moses, a servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought back him a report according to my convictions. Now, I'm pausing from reading the text. I want to make one comment here. There's a difference between bringing a report back that is raw data and bringing a report back that's based on your convictions. He draws a distinction, and he says, remember his report, he says, yeah, but we can do this. That was the report according to his conviction. Yes, there's fruit there. Yes, there are giants there. Yes, the Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Amorites, yes, they are there, I agree, but according to my convictions, through God, we can do this. Back to the text. But my brothers who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt with fear. I, however, follow the Lord my God wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, quote Moses, the land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly, end quote. Verse 10. Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time he said this to Moses while Israel moved about in the desert. So here I am today, 85 years old. I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now than I was then. Now, give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and that their cities are large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Joseph I'm sorry, Joshua blessed Caleb. And I want to read this the second half of verse 15. Then the land had rest from war. We'll come back to that phrase in a minute. So when we look at the life of Caleb, we can say this about him, that he was a man of positive attitudes and high altitudes. He preferred faithfulness to fear. He preferred high mountains to the cities and the valleys. And he trusted God to accomplish what others thought impossible. He was fearless to fight against things greater, taller, stronger than himself, rather than find safety in what men could do more easily. So here's the application. Are you facing any giants in your life? You're talking to you personally. You got anything on the horizon that looks really, really bigger than you? Have you had anything in your past that you haven't been able to conquer, that in your mind looms large and is like a giant, that you haven't been able to get the victory? It could be a lifestyle. It could be something you hold in secret, you don't want others knowing, because you know before God it shouldn't be in your life, but you haven't been able to conquer it. Is there anything that has ever come to mind in another message where they're telling you, preachers, churches, the Bible, and you read in Philippians, letter Paul, he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Have you ever tried to claim that, but you just can't get these giants defeated? Have you ever thought, I think I've got the giants defeated? But then you read later on in Numbers, the two chapters later, that actually there were three sons of Anak living in that Mount Horeb. There were three giant sons, three of them. Have you ever gotten two of them dealt with, but you've got one more left? Well, Caleb, there were three sons. He defeated all of them by the strength of God. Moreover, that wasn't enough for good old Caleb. He just must have just gotten the blood up after having slain three giants. He gets his blood up and he goes down Mount Horeb and he drives out the enemy from around the base of it, drove them out to the sea. Do you have giants? What can you believe God for? Let's talk corporately, because I know that there are some in this room that have, beyond their own lives and those challenges in Ron's own life, have been praying for this county for decades. Now remember, this is a biblical spiritual application, so I must not fail to tell you what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, the rulers of darkness in this present age. Are they not the giants? And had you ever prayed to God either last month, last year, or two or three decades ago, as Elvie and I experience, where you're praying for this county and there are giants here in the spiritual dimension? And did you ever feel from God? Feel in your heart, you knew that God wanted the victory over this county. He wanted these giants defeated, and you know in your heart that God can do this, but you haven't seen that. It's sort of like Caleb, who was promised the mountain, promised the defeat of the giants of Anak, but for 40 years couldn't see it, had to wait, had to put up with the disbelieving generation that was in place because they could not grasp the power of God for the community. You ever see any of these giants in your spiritual sight? Do you have any giants in your personal life? So how do you deal with these kings? How? The lesson of Caleb gives us three things that we can latch onto and we can work with. The first one is to remain steadfast and faithful. Just because we haven't seen the victory today doesn't mean it won't be ours tomorrow or next week or next month. Remain faithful. Caleb went to a country and he saw something. It had pretty big challenges on it, but it stirred him. He desired that thing. He goes back and he gives a good report, and because of that, he was promised that thing. But he held on to that promise. He was faithful to the vision. It's not only being faithful to trust God for the strength, but it's being faithful to the vision itself. Would it not have been easy for any one of us who, after 40 years, if we could have maintained faithfulness for 40 years, if, and that's a big if for most people, if when we finally go through the 40 years, we see the rest of, we see trees, fertile fields lying on either side of the Jordan, and that becomes so attractive. I want to retire. and we claim the 23rd Psalm that I make you lie down in green pastures. Don't you just want to lie down in some soft green grass and take your rest? And well, then you read in Hebrews, you're going to enter into your Sabbath rest, okay? Well, that's a future thing when we make the next big transition. But you want to say, oh, I kind of want that now, Lord. I'm going to start Sabbath resting now just so that I'm used to it when I get there and I'm practiced. But not Caleb. That guy. No, I'm 85. I am just as rigorous to go out and do battle than I was 40 years ago. If you have prayed that the Lord make a mighty move in this county, if you prayed that 30 and 40 years ago, may I encourage you to stay faithful to that vision. And that's the second thing. Believe and conceive of conquering these giants in the power and through the name of Jesus. Believe it. Not only have intellectual assent, well, I believe there's going to be a big tsunami at the coming of the Holy Spirit. I really believe that. I don't know whether I'm going to see it or not. Well, see it. See it. In your prayer, say, Lord, give me sight in the spiritual. Give me sight to see people on their knees, to see redemption coming, to see repentance happening on a wholesale level, to see people saying, yes, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner, just like the Israelites had to do in the wilderness when the serpents were coming and attacking. They had to see, they had to humble themselves, look up to where their redemption was, look to the cross and see God's salvation. That's what you need to visualize for the county. For yourself, do you have this chronic illness? Visualize healing. Visualize it. You don't get one breath in the scriptures of Caleb rumbling, I have to go through all of this because of your unbelief. No, he didn't do that. He kept his eyes and his heart faithful. He did not look back. He did not look at the failings of the other people. He looked at what could be. And he held on to that vision. He conceived it. If I have any affinity to this guy, Caleb, I can imagine that he fought the giants over and over and over in his mind's eye in those 40 years. So that when he finally got his chance, I'm ready. He says to Moses, now, having restated God's promise, now give it to me. I'm ready. I'm ready for the fight. I'm ready. He spent 40 years stealing his will, being ready to trust God the way he could have 40 years earlier. He was ready to do it again. Trust. Visualize it. Conceive of it in your mind. Whether you're talking about a church vision to take our proper place, our God-appointed calling in this community for that tsunami event of the Holy Spirit, whether it's that or whether it's conquering a personal giant, it's the same thing. They're done at the same time by the same belief, by the same faithfulness, by the same conceiving of what God can do. You have not because you ask not. Ask it. See it. Ask it. And when you get an affirmation of it, hang on to it, even if it takes years. Just like Caleb. Phew. Now, there is one other thing I'm suggesting that we can learn from Caleb and that we must apply. Wait for the Lord. And again, I say, wait. Listen to how Isaiah put it in his encouragement to the Israelites years later. Chapter 40, verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord God is an everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired, nor will he grow weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Remain steadfast and faithful. Believe and conceive in conquering the giants by the power and through the name of Jesus Christ. Wait for the Lord. And again, I say, wait. Maybe you have no more giants to fight. Perhaps you're bothered or plagued by a host or the hordes of smaller but more persistent things which erode your peace in Christ. Next week, we're going to look at how to deal with these things the way Gideon did. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of Caleb. We thank you for inspiring Moses to write this account down. We thank you, Lord, for inspiring Joshua to write it in the Chronicles so that we today, 3,000 years later, can look at this life of Caleb and learn something valuable about you. Because as these giants fall before us, it is not because of our strength, it's not because of our faithfulness, it is because we have remained faithful to you, that your strength can do this, that you are greater than those that are against us. It is you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the triune God, the Trinity at work, not only in the world, but also in ourselves personally, individually, in the largest context and in the smallest micro context, you are there. We thank you, God. Help us this week to draw strength from the lesson of Caleb and to look forward to how to defeat the host of lesser gremlins and demons the way Gideon did. Amen.